I want to take you back to James chapter 1. Because I had a sense that Sunday we had gotten to the overload department. How many know what happens when you get to the overload?
Yeah. You spill over.
The brain goes like, I can't take this anymore. So let's go back to James 1. And we can remember that verse 6 says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man or woman, unstable in all that he does. Now, I want you to skip down to verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I believe that many lose their blessing because they get tired.
Amen.
They get worn out and they take the blame instead of getting rid of it. They take the shame and they carry it. And when you and I are walking in shame and in blame, we get depressed. Oh, wait a minute. Some saying yes, but some are saying, how? Just look at your attitude. When you're under shame and blame, what happens to you? How do you go forth during your day?
Joy.
What I've also learned is most people medicate. They medicate. They go to the doctor and they get medicine.
Or they eat or they drink.
Eat, drink is also medicine. Mm-hmm. I've seen refrigerators that were the best medicine that you could get. Mm-hmm. The only problem was it didn't solve a thing. Except it created a new problem, because now they could blame themselves for something more. Mm-hmm. And I can verify, I've been there.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm not accusing anybody, that's not the issue. I am saying that you're going to make choices. But if you persevere under trial, so what is he saying? You're going to have trials? Yes! Because again, verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, wherever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So again, verse 12, persevere under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Verse 13 is a little scary. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. Yet he asks us to pray, lead me not into temptation. That's the Lord's Prayer. So what do we have a tendency to do? We blame God for the temptation. And it's not really God that's doing it. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So that's kind of clear. He's not the author of the temptation. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires. How many have ever discovered that you've got evil desires in you?
Yeah.
My little great-granddaughter, who's 2.5, was in the car on Saturday with her mom and dad and her sister and brother, and she saw a police car go by. Okay? Any idea what she said?
He's a bad man.
He's a pig?
I hate cops. Now, she's 2.5 years old. How could you have a hatred for cops at 2.5?
Saw it on the TV, or she's heard it.
She's heard it somewhere. Mm-hmm. She's repeating what she heard. She's been educated by what she listens to. And I don't know who said it, and that's not important. It was what was coming out of her mouth. And yesterday she also filled my wife with some more information, which I will not repeat. Because she's 2.5 and she can say and get away. And my wife and I, we laugh because, let's face it, kids are going to be kids. They're going to speak, okay? Mm-hmm. But again, each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, where did we get these evil desires and how did we get them? Can we blame the enemy for that?
Not all the time, no.
No, right on. It's the Adamic nature, what we inherited from Adam and Eve. I mean, they made a boo-boo. And it's been 6,000 years and the boo-boo's still operating. Even when you're born again, which part of you is born again? Your spirit. When does your spirit start controlling the mind, will, and emotions?
When you let it.
You and I are the author of allowing it. Now, how about when the soul or the mind and evil desires are overruling? What happens? You end up going in the refrigerator anyway. Because the impulse is too strong, or you perceive it to be too strong, and the medication is so accustomed to being brought in that you submit to it. Okay? And if that doesn't work, you'll go visit your friendly doctor, pay the copayment, and get some meds. I can't sleep. I can't do this. I can't do that. So I've got to have help. And the doctor's willing to help you. And I'm not blaming the doctor now. And I'm not blaming the person, man or woman. I'm not saying God can't use doctors. He does. But you know what? It should be something that we should work on allowing the Holy Spirit to cleanse us, which is what he was doing tonight. Okay? And when the cleansing takes place, you won't need the medication. Okay? There will be a new freedom within you, and you won't be able to blame yourself or condemn yourself. Because if you put on 10 pounds and you say, oh my God, I should have never done it. Is that self-condemnation too, isn't it? Okay, and I'm just like the rest of you, so I'm not trying to pull me out of it. Look at verse 15. After desire has conceived. So notice again, it's a conception. It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word, of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of all he created. What was his intention if we are to be like the first fruit? What is the intention of the first fruit?
That our spirit would overrule our mind.
Yes, that's right. And that's the beginning of maturity. Mm-hmm. Am I there all the time? I think it fluctuates. And I think there's no such thing as a person who's got it all put together, because if we had it all put together, we'd be able to do the exact same things Jesus did. Mm-hmm. How many of you raised a few dead bodies last week?
Not last week.
Unless you look at yourself and you look at the dead body you'd licked up. Okay? You might be raising that dead person. Mm-hmm. But in reality, there is a new day coming where some of these things that happened in the book of Acts will be happening again. Are you ready? If you read Daniel, you'll find that's exactly what's going to happen, because he said that it would. He prophesied it. So the first fruit from the dead is who?
Us.
Us and the Lord. Will we be able to do what he did?
He said so.
He said so. Does his word go void?
No.
Do we cancel it?
Yes.
Why?
Because we don't believe.
Ah.
Not enough faith.
Okay. So what is he doing? He's taking us on a journey. Right now, getting rid of the shame and getting rid of the blame. So once those two things are out of the way, there's going to be room for something new, right?
Amen.
What do you think he's going to put in instead of shame and blame?
Love.
What is he going to put in
love.
Instead of shame and blame?
Love, compassion, joy.
Love, acceptance, compassion, grace, favor.
Freedom.
When that freedom comes and he gives you a word to carry out, how difficult is it going to be to go ahead and do it? It's not going to be hard at all. You know why? Because the evil thoughts that used to rule will no longer be the authority. It'll be your spirit man that'll be the authority. So he's taking you from what you were to what you need to become. And we are a work in progress. Amen? We are a work in progress. Look at your neighbor. Say, you're looking good tonight.
You're a work in progress.
And I'm glad that I can be celebrating it with you. That includes you, Seal. Seriously, when we look at our past and you look at where you used to live, and I do that periodically.
Yep.
And I got a phone call this morning from our friend, the pastor from the North Kingdom House of Prayer, which, by the way, needs to be prayed for as the Lord leads you. And I remember what God did to me. Now, I mean, he did it to me because I didn't feel like doing. I didn't feel like obeying, period. I'm on Route 5, or 91 North, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to stop at this next high place, because there was like a parking place, and off of the highway, and you can see the Connecticut River. Over the Connecticut River is New Hampshire. And this is north of White River Junction, quite a few miles up. So I stopped and got out of the car, and the Lord said, hold your hands and just, okay, and bless New Hampshire. I have no idea why. I'm not trying to figure him out. I'm just going to do. So that's a clue to you. If he asks you to do something, just do it. Don't ask why, because sometimes he's not going to tell you why, because that time he didn't. So, several days later, as I'm driving back, the Lord said, I want you to go through New Hampshire instead and stop at Nicole's, my sister-in-law's sister's, and see how they're doing, so you can call. So I called before I left, and I asked if they were going to be home. And you know, Claude and I did not know each other. We had met each other at my brother's parties, you know, family gatherings, that type of thing, funerals. And because his mother-in-law and Gaston's mother-in-law was the same person. So obviously the girls are from the same family, so kind of knew them. But, hi, how are you? Sorry to hear about your troubles, blah, blah, blah. So he said, I'm glad you stopped. And I'm thinking, I don't know why I stopped. So he says, would you like to come to church? We belong to a church, and we both got born again. I said, yeah. I said, your brother-in-law tattled on you, meaning Gusto. And to make a long story short, we ended up going to church. Not that particular trip. I stopped back on another day, a few months later, and we talked on the phone a couple times, and he was having some difficulty. How many know if you start stretching and obeying the Holy Ghost that you're going to get some persecution? Well, he had never tasted the fruits of that persecution, but I was already kind of tested in that corner. I probably had received a number 7 on that one. And to make a long story short as possible, ended up ministering at that church several times, ministering to the pastor, etc. Got to meet the people, and it was a beautiful body of believers. And the Lord had done a wonderful, wonderful work. But how many know when God works, there's also an attraction? Anybody know what the attraction is? Bugs. There were bugs that came in. Booby traps, etc. Some of them happened to hurt the ones that were trying to obey the Lord. So, through their difficulties and trials, I became the hearing. I got the phone calls. I was able to pray with him so that he could survive. And eventually he was ordained over here. What am I saying to you? Perseverance must finish its works before you become mature. When you doubt, you get nothing. And blessed are you, man or woman, when you persevere under trial, because when you have stood the test, you will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. What am I saying? I'm saying that each of us can really check out this particular chapter. Look at it so that you can see God's plan in your difficulty. For me, when I first got to, let's say, this is when I had the furniture store, et cetera, with all the wonderful testing that had happened. 1 year, every day I read it. God would not leave me alone, because I was going through some tests. But this chapter kept me alive. This chapter showed me perseverance, because I was aiming for one thing: maturity. He changed my life. He can change yours. There's no such thing as a hopeless case. So would you close your eyes right now? Say, hopeless cases,
hopeless cases
are omitted from God's character. He says all things work together for good. And I'm a blessed person when I persevere under trial. Because when I have stood the test,
I will receive the crown of life
that God has promised for me, because of his love for me. Hallelujah.